So comrades, come rally, and the last fight, let us face the Internationale. Unites the human race. So comrades, come rally, and the last fight, let us face the Internationale. Unites the human race. Something to prove, and everything to gain.
And now, Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash, occupies the airwaves with May Day New York programming.
While celebrated across the globe, it has been largely ignored here until recently when immigrant workers revived it.
And now a new chapter in the history of May Day is being written with the involvement of Occupy Wall Street.
Building Bridges is there for this new chapter in the movement, reporting from May Day events on the struggles of the working class in the midst of capitalist crisis and prospects for change.
And now we begin in earnest. And we have with us now Lucas Sanchez, who's an organizer with New York Communities for Change. He's involved in a major organizing effort with the greengrocers in Brooklyn. Lucas, hi.
Thanks for having me on.
So tell us what you're up to today at May Day and what your impressions are.
So I'm in the middle of Union Square right now. Before this, I was at Madison Park, and we marched down over here, and we're just in the middle of the town.
And Lucas, tell us what the signs say there. Tell us what people are concerned about and what the issues are.
Well, as expected, Occupy is dominating signs and chants. A lot of students and workers united, a lot of tax the rich, tax the 1%, and then just all sorts of groups, different unions. So, yeah, it's a pretty diverse crowd today.
And how does this affect the work that you do on a regular basis to try to take a largely immigrant workforce and organize them for both dignity on the job and certainly for better wage and benefit packages?
Right. I mean, anytime you mobilize any group of workers, you know, it's an asset to workers everywhere. And definitely, I mean, one of the things I'm seeing a lot here is immigrant groups and immigrant groups advocating for immigrant rights and highlighting the message that no one is illegal. So, you know, it's great to see the immigrant community participating in the march.
And Lucas, people say that the immigrant community, there's too much stacked against them, that they can't be organized in unions. Does your experience bear that out or not?
My experience with immigrant workers is that people want to organize, and people want to organize, you know, no matter what the dangers are or what the consequences may be, you know, taking into account that people are, in fact, more often than not undocumented. So, you know, my experience has been that immigrant workers want to, are ready to organize, are organizing, have all these organized and have been a major, you know, mobilizer for the labor movement in this country. It continues to do so.
There have been 99 pickets. There have been decentralized activity up until now all over.
Seeing a lot of independent groups, different political expressions, immigrant workers, community-based organizations. So, I mean, that's just an example, but I am seeing a lot of community organizations, a lot of immigrant workers, and just different political groups coming out.
And do you have other folks there who we can talk to and help understand what is happening?
Yes, they do. The first person I want to put on the air is Keith, and Keith is here with Community Voices Heard.
My name is Keith Gamble, and I'm a board member with Community Voices Heard.
Wonderful. So tell us about what you're doing at May Day and some of the incredible work that actually Community Voices Heard is doing in general.
Well, generally, we're here to support working people and workers in general, and just to lift up the principle that all labor has dignity and be respected, and just show solidarity with everybody around the world and celebrate labor and celebrate May Day. And so just to be a part of that, and this is fantastic. There's so many people out here right now. This is the question of what we do in general. I'll just speak specifically to our biggest campaign, and want to end what WEF, which is the Work Experience Program, that the city of New York implements in compliance with the federal work requirements for people on public assistance.
Oh, absolutely.
Right on.
And And our deal is this. If you're going to have people work, you need to pay people for the work that they do. And stop exploiting those who are most vulnerable and using them as a surplus labor pool to reduce your budget and to use that as a hammer against the municipal labor union. It's wrong and it needs to stop.
Well, congratulations for that, but you were also doing a lot of other campaigns, so very quickly, why don't you go down the list?
We also have a public housing campaign as well, organizing people in NYCHA residence, and the whole idea, again, is housing is a right, and public housing is the last best bastion for working people and low-income people to have decent housing, and it should not be privatized, and the city needs to stop warehousing apartments because people do need it. And we want to lift that up as well.
That is terrific. Are other folks there with you to talk about what's happening now in Union Square?
Yes, I did have one for you.
Oh, good. Who's that?
Mitch is from Domestic Workers United I have with me.
Wonderful.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? Happy May Day.
Thank you to you, too. I'm Mitch Rosales from Domestic Workers United. I'm so excited to be in Union Square this May Day because it's a lot of people. It's people from the communities, from immigration. There is the union, the Occupy Wall Street movement, and everyone is here. We are celebrating May Day, and we demanding our rights as workers and as 99%.
Well, that's exciting. And what kind of work do you do?
I do community organizer for Domestic Workers United. I'm organizer the Latino Task.
Great. And tell us a little bit, because not everybody knows about Domestic Workers United, which is one of the best organizations in the country.
Okay, we organize domestic workers, nannies, housekeepers, people that take care of the elderly. For fighting for our rights.
And what are the rights that you're fighting for?
We want recognition as a worker because, you know, domestic workers were excluded from the labor laws when the labor laws became. We were excluded, and then we want recognition as a worker. We want the minimum. In 2010, we won a Bill of Rights. Where we have the recognition as a worker, 40 hours a week, 8 hours place of work, we get overtime pay.
And have you ever seen an activity like this before? Have you been to other May Days?
Yes, this is like my fifth time I'm here in May Day in the 12th. But nothing like today, because today is a lot of people and everyone is united, like all the groups from the 99% I'm here, and this is very, like, historic.
Well, we are excited to hear from all of you. We've been speaking to somebody from Domestic Workers United as well as New York Communities for Change, Lucas Sanchez, and Community Voices Heard. What an exciting day, May Day in New York. Lucas Sanchez, thank you for bringing us our brother and sister, and we're going to continue our sojourn throughout the country for May Day. I couldn't resist putting on Take the A-Train for our next guest, the president of the 37,000 member Subway and Bus Workers Transport Workers Union Local 100, John Samuelson, a dynamic new voice in labor who's with us from the May Day rally. Hi, John.
How's everything going?
Well, that's what we're calling to find out from you. What's it look like there? How is it going?
The reports that I'm getting are that it's unbelievable. I'm actually down at 2 Broadway where I'm speaking a short while with a crew of Local 100 members. We have a very large contingent up there at Union Square, and I'm told that it's absolutely fabulous.
Tell us what you're doing at 2 Broadway, because I know ultimately the march is going to head down to 2 Broadway.
Yeah, the march is going to head down to 2 Broadway. The march will stop in front of 2 Broadway, which, of course, is the controversial headquarters of the MTA and the New York City Transit Authority. So some of the presidents, including me, of unions that have workers employed by the MTA are going to speak to the marches.
And why is it so controversial at 2 Broadway?
Well, they're spending $63 million a year at 2 Broadway, and they vacated a building in downtown Brooklyn that they were paying $1 a year to rent from the city. So that property in Brooklyn was at 370 J Street, and it's now being turned over to NYU to become a center of technology academically. And we disagree with that move. The MTA could save $63 million by moving back into downtown Brooklyn and pump that $63 million into the restoration of service that they cut in 2010.
John, what is the status now of the contract?
The discussions are still going forward. The MTA is still maintaining a hard line on concessions. We are refusing to give up those concessions. We have absolutely no intention of giving up those concessions, particularly in a year where the richest folks in New York State saw a sizable take-home pay increase. Yet the talks still continue.
You are a union that have identified, have assisted, and certainly not distanced yourself from the activity of Occupy Wall Street. And I'm interested in why and what your thoughts are and how there's been a kind of coalescing between your organized union and Occupy Wall Street.
Well, I think the original reason our executive board endorsed the Occupy movement still stands. We said from the very beginning that we don't agree with every single idea that's put forth by the Occupy movement, but we have a whole lot of common ground, and it's in those areas of common ground that we find unity. And, you know, common ground in terms of joblessness and hopelessness among our youth, the attacks on public transit, attacks on education, attacks, in fact, on all the services that working people need in New York State and elsewhere. So that fight is our fight, and that fight is the Occupy movement's fight, and that's where we meet.
John, tell us more about what's happening with Transport Workers Union Local 100 in terms of the fight you're in with the MTA.
Well, specifically, the MTA is still insisting on either a wage freeze or wage increases that are funded through concessions that they expect transit workers to make. And by the way, some of those concessions would be detrimental to the safety of the riding public. For instance, moves to take conductors off trains, that type of thing. And including part-time bus operators, which we believe actually could have a trickle-down effect on the safety of the riding public. We would have the potential of our bus operators work for 3 or 4 different companies just trying to make ends meet if the union ever conceded on the issue of part-time bus operators, which we have absolutely no intention of doing.
Tell us exactly what's going on now in front of the MTA building. Is this another effort to really alert the public and put pressure on this skinflint, or rather, they're not skinflints, they're spendthrifts, on anything but the workers?
Yeah, I think they're both, depending on what the issue is. Certainly the decision by the organizers of the march to stop and to Broadway is an indication that the contract fight between the Transport Workers Union as well as the Amalgamated Transit Union locals that have workers employed by the MTA, it's an indication that there's widespread support for TW Local 100 in this fight and that we are going to activate our allies and begin to ratchet up that pressure on this company over the next several months, along with the ratcheting up of the activities of the Occupy folks.
John, another front is the massive debt that the MTA has taken on in recent years to do infrastructure projects. What's your view on that?
There's a couple of different points I think need to be made. Certainly, the MTA can't keep on piling on debt in order to build infrastructure or maintain its infrastructure. However, it is the maintenance of the State of Good Repair program, which keeps safe buses on the road and keeps trains from going off the tracks, is an absolute must. And there has to be an alternative fundraising mechanism so that the MTA doesn't find itself in a position where they have to borrow in order to maintain the system. And we've worked and have been working diligently to come up with some alternative methods to fund the capital programs that are necessary. And I'm not talking about the expansion projects. I'm talking about the State of Good Repair that transit workers and transit riders rely on to go home in one piece.
Tell us a little bit about what it means to be a transport worker, the efforts, the energies, the health, and other issues that occur on the job, and of course, all of that goes to why they should have a decent contract.
Well, transport workers, Local 100 members, face danger every night. We just came off of three memorials over the last 4 or 5 days that commemorate and memorialize the anniversary of Local 100 members who died in the line of duty. So yesterday afternoon, I was on Mahorn Street where a track worker named Marvin Franklin was run over by a train through no fault of his own, actually through the fault of the company and the company's push for increased production on the railroad tracks. We have our bus operators face incredible danger every day. 3 or 4 bus operators get assaulted every week on the streets of New York City. And yet it's taken a couple of decades, and only, I would say, only since the administration of the MTA under Joe Loda came that we started taking this seriously. You know, and I don't agree with Loda on nearly everything, but I have to give credit where credit's due. Loda did recognize this as a problem, and he has been working with the union fairly diligently to get partitions put in place to protect our bus operators. But nonetheless, if there were 3 cops or 4 cops a week getting assaulted on New York City buses, they would have the nail on guard riding on those buses to protect the police. But because it's New York City Transit bus operators, everybody sort of looks the other way and doesn't make such a big deal of it, and that's an outrage. And that's a good example of what it's like to be a transport worker.
Well, we'd like to thank you for spending some time with us today. Are you heartened by May Day and by the workers coming together with community to celebrate this day that emanated from the working class?
To the level, I'm very heartened by it and have every intention of using today as a springboard into a reinvigorated contract fight against this company that's refusing to give a fair contract to transit workers. And not only that, I'm reinvigorated to continue the fight and intensify the fight to get the service restored for New York's working families that was cut in 2010.
Well, John Samuelson, our listeners will be with you certainly the next time we are called out to support our brothers and sisters in the Transport Workers Union Local 100. John Samuelson, as I said, really is a dynamic new voice in labor. Thank you for being with us. Happy May Day, and soon a decent contract.
Yes. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Happy May Day.
We're also joined now by Barbara Bowen, who is the president of the Professional Staff Congress of the City University of New York. Happy May Day, Barbara.
Happy May Day to you. Happy May Day to both of you and to all the listeners. It's a great celebration, the Workers' Day.
Why? What's happening?
I'm in Union Square, so I hope you can hear me.
Perfectly.
Yes, you can. Okay, because I tried to move to a little bit of a quieter spot, but no place is very quiet, which is a great thing on May Day, and the weather is spectacular. The workers' weather came out, the sun came out for us, which is beautiful. I think the main thing is people's sense of joy and liberation in being able to celebrate together. And especially for those of us who have been in May Day marches where we've seen different marches in different parts of the city, and all of us made efforts to bring those marches together. It's a really great sense of celebration today that we have community groups, we have labor groups, we have Occupy, and everybody is sharing, not just in a sense of celebration, but in an urgent demand for complete transformation. And I think that's what you feel across Union Square today.
Barbara, if you could go a little bit more in detail about the kinds of groups that are there, which unions, which community group, which are the issues that are really receiving prominence from both the speakers and from the signs that you see?
Well, I just saw 1199 healthcare workers marching past, chanting, "We are the 99%. My own union, the Professional Staff Congress, Union of CUNY Faculty and Staff, is here in great numbers. And we have signs, Money for Education, Not War, and signs about educational and economic justice. I've seen a big contingent from transport workers, Local 100, the TWU. I've seen workers from District Council 37, and I'm just seeing another union banner, Legal Services Staff Association. Those are the ones right near me. And all across the square, there are many, many others. There are student groups. I'm right in the midst now of a big student group, and there was a very impressive demand for end to racial profiling and racist stop and frisk powerful sort of photographic exhibit of connections between Emmett Till and others killed, other African-Americans, Trayvon Martin and others killed right in our own time. You know, I think there's a powerful joining of issues, labor issues, as well as issues against racism and for economic justice.
Barbara, we've been hearing a lot of stories about student debt and about the challenges for the new generation in terms of both that debt and the lack of jobs. You're a president of a local dealing with higher education. What's your feeling about what's ahead for both higher education and also for the students and young people coming up?
I think, you know, with the reaching of the $1 trillion mark in student debt nationwide, which occurred this week, we've really crossed a threshold that should never have been crossed, and I hope from here we just go back. The terrible pattern that was set partly at CUNY during the fiscal crisis, where a disproportionate cut was made to CUNY to try to balance the budget of New York City. And one of the first things to go in New York was free tuition at CUNY, which had lasted for right through the Depression and through two world wars. And that was a harbinger, I think, of the pattern that we've now seen for the past 50 years, which is to withdraw public money from higher education, and the vast majority of people who go into higher education are at public institutions, to withdraw public money, dramatically so, over the last 20 years, and try to replace it by squeezing students dry for tuition. And the result is that some students are going to face a life of debt just to pay off their college loans and coming out of school at a time when there are fewer and fewer jobs for college graduates. And they're going to be indebted and not able to move forward because of their student debt, and then many, many other hundreds of thousands of students are going to be cut out of college altogether because of its cost. So we've got to make a change in the price of higher education, and that it starts with recognizing that higher education is a public good for everyone and not just a piece of private property. It's got to get out of the market. And I guess what I see uniting everybody here is that beautiful statement, we are the 99%, which unites the working class, the poor, the unemployed with the middle class. And for me, that's one of the most dramatic things occurring here. That for a long time, the middle class in America had been picturing itself as aspiring to be in the ruling class, really, identifying with that class. And the brilliant thing that's happened here is that we see that the economic interests and control of a very small group are working against the interests of the vast majority of people. So it's that sense of the vast majority finding each other and speaking together and coming together that propels today's event.
Barbara Bowen, is this a special May Day? Have we grown? Have we developed? Is this a harbinger of things to come for the working class?
I hope so. And I think, yes, the fact that labor, community, Occupy, students are all together here and not doing their separate thing, recognizing their commonality, says yes, and I think we should and must only grow from here.
Barbara Bowen, president of the Professional Staff Congress of the City University of New York, happy May Day.
Happy May Day to you.
Live from the May Day Line of March is one of our favorite organizers, Mario Rodriguez, who is organizing director with District Council 37, AFSCME, and Occupy Wall Street activist. Mario, happy May Day.
Happy May Day, Mimi. Happy May Day, Ken.
Hey, how happy is it? Tell us what's really going on and what your impression is.
I'm standing on East 10th and Broadway. What we thought was the end of the march, where we have suddenly been joined with probably another 1,000 protesters that started to come from the west. And I would say this is the largest May Day march that I've seen since when we were at the height of the immigrant rights movement back in, I think it was 04, 06. It's been an incredible day. It's been an incredible day from early this morning and up until now and later on into the evening as, you know, really the festivities and the protests continue.
Mario, tell us about some of the things that happened earlier this morning because you were out there, right?
I was out this morning since about 8 a.m. where the Occupy movement, sort of kind of a pop-up occupation out of Bryant Park, And from there, there was easily over 20 different picket lines that started about 8 a.m. this morning from different unions, community groups, immigrant worker groups that were protesting their respective targets. And then going in and out of Bryant Park as kind of our base where Occupy Wall Street had medics set up, had teach-ins going on. Then throughout the day, there was a number of activities. Occupy had an Occupy University. There was student strikes that were happening. And then there was a general strike march that left the Lower East Side at about 2 o'clock to meet with the students at Washington Square Park. From there, that march then joined the larger rally at Union Square. And at about 5:30, a massive, massive march where we have literally tens of thousands of people on the street commenced, and we're en route now. I was really surprised, really, by the amount of young people that teenagers from all parts of the city. So I would assume that a good number of them were students that left their high schools and maybe even elementary schools to join the walkout. Right now, as I'm standing here, I'm watching a contingent of CUNY students marching down. I mean, this is a really, really diverse May Day and truly reflective of the 99%.
And Mario, in terms of the issues that people are concerned about, do you see any particular issue more than other issues?
The underlying issue that's blending in together is the massive inequality and the control of resources and wealth in our country. The issues here are basically about the fundamental, you know, the basics, the access to the basics. You see, you know, obviously the main issue of labor rights and workers' rights. But you have healthcare advocates out here, you have education advocates, and we have environmentalists, everyone marching in solidarity with each other, all understanding that really the root of this problem comes from the tremendous inequality and the concentration of wealth in the 1%.
What do you think this means to our really organizing a massed movement of working class issues and, of course, we understand immigrant rights issues as part of that?
What I saw today, which was different, is that this morning, the Occupy movement, and right now as we speak, you know, the rally is a testament to that. This morning what we saw was the Occupy movement, the immigrant workers movement, the community groups, and labor picketing together these various targets throughout New York City. And what was amazing was that the isolation that we once saw these groups work in started to dissipate. And really, the Occupy umbrella now, I think, is really encompassing the 99%. And you know, the solidarity that we're seeing right now is like no other that I've seen in New York City.
Mario Rodriguez, thank you for the work that you do always, and thank you for sharing some of your impressions and interests in May Day.
And happy May Day.
Happy May Day.
This has been a Building Bridges May Day special. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash on this May Day where there is movement in the movement at long last. Let's keep it going. Go out there, demonstrate, fight.
And continue to organize.